Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, "Whenever I remembered the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears." Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, "Whenever I remembered the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears."
Nearly 70 Palestinians were killed in a single day of Israeli attacks on Gaza, with overall death toll surpassing 40,300. Iran's foreign minister reiterates country's legitimate right to retaliate the Israeli assassination of the late Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran. And millions of Muslims arrive in Iraq's holy city of Karbala to mark Arba'in, the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here on World News. Israel continues pounding Gaza, killing dozens more Palestinians in fresh attacks. At least 27 lost their lives as a result of strikes on several areas of the southern city of Khan Yunis, In center Gaza, Israeli shelling on the Baraj refugee camp killed a Palestinian toddler and her mother. Also in central Gaza, three people fell victim to attacks on the Al Nusayrat refugee camp. In the past 24 hours, around 70 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza. Israel's military campaign, widely known and condemned as a genocide, is now in its 11th month, and the death toll stands at over 40,300, with thousands believed to be buried under rubble as well. And apart from all the fatalities, displacement has been worsening the misery of Gazans since October the 7th. In the past 2 days, Israel's intense airstrikes on Deir al-Balah have displaced nearly 100,000 Palestinians. Earlier, our Gaza correspondent Moti Abu Musaba joined us from the central city of Deir al-Balah with your update.
Deir al-Balah and Khan Yunis cities are still the main and the focal areas of these ongoing attacks. Amid the ongoing and the non-stop Israeli strikes and attacks, those areas are still subjected to the Israeli military operations targeting them. Here in Deir al-Balah city, as you know, the Israeli occupation forces issued more evacuation orders for the Palestinian people in the eastern part of the city, demanding them to evacuate. We are talking about hundreds of thousands of the Palestinian people have been forcibly expelled out of their residential squares and blocks in the eastern part of the city. And as you know, this means clearly that the Israeli occupation forces are going to expand and widen their attacks against Deir al-Balah city. The people are highly concerned that the Israeli occupation forces are going to widen this escalation and this military operation in order to have a full-scale invasion for Deir al-Balah city. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, as you know, the Israeli occupation forces have withdrawn from Hamad city, leaving massive destruction in that area. The entire residential towers were partially or completely destroyed as a result of the Israeli attacks targeted that area. Needless to mention that dozens of the Palestinian people were injured and killed in that area, basically as a result of the Israeli attacks against the tents taken shelter by the Palestinian people in that area. When it comes to Rafah city, the Israeli occupation forces continue to detonate and blow up more residential squares in the western part of Rafah city. When it comes to Gaza city, as you know, the Israeli occupation forces continue to wage more airstrikes against the city. The last one actually took place in Tufaha neighborhood when the Israeli fighter jets attacked the area and targeted a residential building there.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has condemned desecration of the Holy Quran by Israeli forces during their raid on the Bani Salim Mosque in Gaza. Hamas said that burning copies of the Quran are blasphemous acts against mosques and bombing Muslim places of worship proved the extreme nature of the Israeli regime. The resistance movement urged Arab and Islamic organizations, as well as all free people of the world, to take action and defend Islamic and Christian sanctities in Palestine. In a separate condemnation, Yemen's Ansarullah movement said inaction by some Arab states has emboldened Israel to violate Muslim sanctities. Footage released on Friday showed invading Israeli forces tearing up and burning copies of the Holy Quran at a mosque in northern Gaza. Video also includes images showing an old mosque being destroyed in Khan Yunis. And since October, Israel has completely destroyed around 610 mosques. The UN Children's Fund has estimated more than 19,000 children in Gaza have become unaccompanied and potentially orphaned due to Israel's onslaught in the territory. UNICEF pointed out that these children have either become separated from their parents or have lost them in the ongoing war. Agency spokesman Kazem Abu Khalif warned many of these children are severely suffering and need urgent support. Gaza's children have been main victims of the ongoing Israeli genocide, and besides separation from their families, they've also suffered from other problems, including hunger and disease. And earlier in July, another UN humanitarian agency, UNRWA, reported that over 50,000 children across Gaza are suffering from acute malnutrition. The dire humanitarian situation of displaced Palestinians in Gaza is worsening by the day as Israel continues its campaign of genocide. Moti Abu Musaba has a report from the sufferings of a Palestinian family in the central city of Deir al-Balah, forced to live in a cemetery.
As the Israeli occupation forces issue more evacuation orders for the Palestinian people in the eastern parts of Deir al-Balah city, the suffering of the Palestinian people is exacerbating day after day, as the western parts of Deir al-Balah city have become completely overwhelmed with the displaced Palestinians who were forcibly expelled out of their residential squares and areas. This family, like many other families here, found itself compelled to take shelter in this cemetery in the central area of Deir al-Balah city. They have found themselves forced to take shelter among these graves in this cemetery in Deir al-Balah city. Let's find out more details about the suffering of this family, basically in these hard and catastrophic conditions that the Palestinian people basically in Deir al-Balah city are living.
We were in Al-Mazra evacuation center near Salah al-Din Street. The situation worsened as the Israeli forces began their attack on Deir al-Balah. I found no place to go as the entire areas of the western part of the city are overcrowded with the people. This is the only place I found available to set up my makeshift tenting. I have an injured son and we are living in disastrous conditions here.
We are documenting these moments regarding this family which is taking shelter in this cemetery in Deir al-Balah city, as the Israeli occupation forces are still diminishing the areas available for those Palestinian people to take shelter in.
You ask me why we are here. As you can see, the situation is beyond catastrophic. No food, no water, no source of income. No one from Arab or foreign countries cares about us. I don't know what we are going to do if it rains. We don't have even a suitable tent to take cover. We are extremely exhausted.
These are some details of the ongoing suffering of this Palestinian family taking shelter in this place. The suffering of the Palestinian people is exacerbating with the ongoing genocidal war against Gaza Strip, while the people are highly concerned that the Israeli occupation forces are going to expand their attacks against Deir al-Balah city. Tabu Msabih, Deir al-Balah city, the middle area of Gaza Strip.
Palestinian resistance fighters are putting up stiff resistance against Israeli soldiers amid months of the regime's ground offensive into Gaza. Armed wing of Hamas, the Al-Qassam Brigade, said the fighters targeted Israeli soldiers that had fortified themselves in a school in Rafah City. The group shelled Israeli position there and engaged in clashes from point-blank range, resulting in a number of casualties. Al-Qassam said forces also engaged in fierce clashes with Israeli forces in the city of Deir al-Balah, inflicting casualties there. The occupation force soldiers confirmed the deaths of three troops in central Gaza. Israeli military has announced now nearly 700 fatalities since October. The Palestinian resistance group, though, says the actual number is much higher. Israelis once again rally at Tel Aviv to protest Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for his failure to secure the release of captives held in Gaza. Protesters have accused Netanyahu of systematically obstructing ceasefire talks for personal and political gains. They also vow to continue their protests until all captives are released. Netanyahu has been in hot water for his handling of the Gaza war. Israel has been the scene of anti-Netanyahu rallies now for months. The Israeli Prime Minister has been charged with fraud, bribery, and breach of trust in three cases filed back in 2019. Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has reiterated its country's legitimate right to retaliate Israel's assassination of the Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran. Araghchi was speaking on the phone with the Egyptian counterpart, Badr Abdelati. The two top diplomats spoke about the Gaza genocide. Araghchi thanked Egypt's efforts to establish a Gaza ceasefire agreeable to Hamas. First part, Abdelati underlined the importance of averting regional escalation, and he congratulated also Araghchi on his election as Iran's new foreign minister. Araghchi was congratulated also for his election in a separate phone call with his Turkish counterpart, Hakan Fidan. In that call, Araghchi pointed to Israel's intention to ramp up regional tensions and spread them to all of West Asia, and he called for continued consultations among countries in the region, particularly Iran and Turkey. And earlier, Araghchi made a similar comment on Haniyeh's assassination, emphasizing that Tehran's response will be precise and calculated. Hezbollah and the Israeli regime continue exchanging fire along the southern Lebanese border. Hezbollah has released a video showing that it successfully targeted an air surveillance and air operations command unit in the settlement of Meron. Our Beirut correspondent joined us earlier with your details.
They have, of course, many operations against Israeli posts. We can give a recap about that. But just before we talk about that, there was a recent video released by Hezbollah on their attack of the Meron air base yesterday. Now, we notice how Hezbollah targets the Meron base after there have been several assassinations or significant assassinations. The first time it was targeted was in January this year, after the assassination of top Hamas commander, Hamas official Salah al-Haruri, in the southern suburbs of Beirut. And what's important about this video is that you can see from the camera of this rocket, which is most probably the Hamas rocket, you can see the previous hits and how it has been destroyed in several areas or damaged as well. And it seems that Hezbollah had the intelligence and the know-how to know how to attack once there has been installations that are recent also in that base. And the significance of that base is that it is used for surveillance and eavesdropping, not only against Lebanon. This goes towards all of the Mediterranean region, also reaching areas that are much further off, maybe close to Turkey. So therefore, it is very important for the Israelis to keep that this hub of intelligence and technical capability. This definitely would, with the continuous targeting from Hezbollah, it would undermine the Israeli defenses on the long term. And there's a lot of speculations from the Israeli side, whether the media or their analysts, saying that once the resistance in Palestine declares the failure of talks, this would definitely lead that Hezbollah would be stepping ahead with not only their operations in support of the resistance people of Palestine and Gaza, but also the possible retaliation for the assassination of Al-Aqsa and targeting of the capital Beirut.
Islamic resistance in Iraq says conducted a new retaliatory attack on an Israeli position. The group said it launched a new drone operation on a vital target in the port of Haifa, said the operation was in support of Palestinians and in response to Israel's ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. Iraqi resistance groups repeatedly stated it will continue its anti-Israel operations until the Gaza genocide ends. And regional resistance groups have repeatedly targeted sensitive and important Israeli targets in occupied Palestine. They also targeted American sites in Iraq and neighboring Syria in recent months amid growing anger at the U.S. support for Israel's campaign of genocide in Gaza. Millions of Muslims from throughout the world are converging on the Iraqi city of Karbala to commemorate Arba'in. The occasion marks the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam. Pilgrims, many from Iran, are making the journey toward Karbala on foot. The Iraqi city houses the shrine of Imam Hussein, who's grandson of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. The Imam and 72 of his companions were martyred on Ashura, the 10th day of the lunar month of Muharram, nearly 14 centuries ago by the tyrant of the time, Yazid, in the Battle of Karbala. Annual pilgrimage of Arba'in is one of the largest religious gatherings in the world, and this year it falls on the 25th of August. Earlier we spoke to Islamic lecturer Shiroz Jafar Dadla to draw parallels between the events of Karbala and modern-day Gaza.
What the sacrifice of Imam Hussein has taught all of these. And you know, what I'm struck by is the fact that there are many here who are not necessarily educated folk. They haven't been taught, they don't even know how to read, some people here. However, there's one thing everyone has been educated about since they were born. Stand up against injustice and corruption. Do not remain silent when you see any kind of oppression happening. And that is what unites the people here today and every year, every moment, those who are the lovers of Mawla Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as we know, stood against injustice, against the tyrant of the time, Yazid, curse be upon him. But what the universal message Imam Hussein showed us was, with his words like, a man like me cannot give allegiance to a man like him, Yazid. And young and old, over the centuries have taken this to heart, that when there's a tyrant who's in charge, you do not bow and you speak up against injustice. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about injustice and said that when there is oppression, stand up against it. And the way to do that is to help the oppressed. But number two, do not help the oppressor. You do not give them arms. You do not create a propaganda against the oppressed. You do not remain silent, the Prophet says, when someone is being oppressed. And you do not allow the oppression to go on. When the oppressed calls out, help me, you respond to his oppression and you help. And so this is what we Muslims are doing here. Yes, absolutely, we're grieving. Yes, absolutely, we are beating our chests. And as you can see, a lot of processions are going by here. You can see the flags. Everyone is headed to the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in great numbers with processions. It's not about just grief. It is about standing against injustice.
Muslims in Nigeria have also taken part in an annual symbolic trek to commemorate Adabain. Our correspondent, Danjuma Abdullahi, has your story.
Muslims have undertaken the symbolic trek from various areas across Nigeria, marching towards Abuja, the Nigerian capital. The mourners said the trek in Nigeria started with a few people, but over the years, the number has grown to thousands of people marching to mark martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. They said the trek and the love for Imam Hussein should not be for Muslims alone, because Christians and everyone are welcome to join the trek. The mourners also condemned Israeli genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza, stressing that victory is certain for the Palestinians because their plight has continued to get the attention of the world.
You can see now Palestinian flag is being raised in America, in Russia, in everywhere in the world. So this is symbolizing what Imam Hussein has called for, that the whole world is coming under the leadership of the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And this is the time, inshallah.
As usual, drama sketches depicting the gruesome events in Karbala were played by the mourners.
The mourners say they cannot make the annual pilgrimage to Imam Hussein's shrine in Karbala, but the trek has given them the opportunity to express sorrow for his martyrdom and to participate in the struggle for justice and freedom over oppression. Danjuma Abdullahi, Suleja.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
In the limelight.
Experts say Palestinian children are suffering complex continuous trauma that manifests in ways ranging from depression, anxiety, cognitive problems, night terrors, and a constant state of fear. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Abdul Karim became the breadwinner for his family after the Zionist regime killed his father. On October 23rd, the family's home was destroyed in an Israeli regime airstrike. Abdul Karim 10 said, I don't know how I pulled out alive. With the help of neighbors, Abdul Karim found his mother. She was alive but injured in her head and legs. His father and his two older brothers, both in their 20s, were murdered. The surviving members of the family had to flee An-Nafaq, an area in Gaza City. The Zionist regime troops were approaching it in tanks. On their first night in southern Gaza, the family slept on the street. The following day, Abdul Karim built a tent using flour to make it. It would become the new home for himself, four of his siblings, and their mother. Each morning, Abdul Karim wakes at 6 a.m. He queues for water and searches for food. Sometimes he returns to his family empty-handed. He offers to help people with various chores, such as carrying bags or fetching water in return for a few shekels. He said, "I will do anything to earn a little money." Working throughout the day, he usually makes the equivalent of $8. "It is not enough to feed his family," he said. "Some days we do not have anything to eat." Abdul Karim's mother has diabetes and blood pressure. A strip of the medicine she needs costs approximately $12. Abdul Karim has often walked from Khan Yunis in the south to Deir al-Balah in the center so that he can find a pharmacy selling the right medicine. The walk takes a few hours. Each strip of medicine only lasts about 5 days. As he has so little money, it is not possible to buy several strips or packets at a time. Abdul Karim has developed pains in his arms from carrying heavy loads. "He feels like crying out in pain," he said. "But I must work to buy medicine for my mother. I don't want to die." Ghazal, a six-year-old girl, screams when she hears an explosion or any other loud noise. When a bombardment occurs at night, she insists on sleeping in her father's arms. She is traumatized by how the Zionist regime killed her uncle in the early stages of the current genocidal war by the Zionist regime. Ghazal keeps asking, "Where did they take Uncle Basil when he was sleeping?" In mid-January, the Zionist regime military surrounded with tanks the Khan Yunis school where Ghazal and his family were sheltering. The Zionists ordered everyone to leave the school within 15 minutes. Ghazal's mother said, "We went through the checkpoints and walked for 8 hours, with corpses lying on the ground all along the way." Ghazal said repeatedly as she saw dead bodies, "I don't want to die. I don't want to die like them. I am a child." The Zionist regime troops took Ghazal's father into detention as they went through a checkpoint. Ghazal tried to run after her father, but the Israelis fired shots in the air. Her father was released in April. Ghazal's anxiety remains acute. She has started wetting the bed again. Sometimes she had not done since she was 2. Her mother said, "Ghazal cries when she wakes up, afraid that I will punish her for wetting herself, but I always reassure her." Omar, a 5-year-old, was rescued from under the rubble in February. He's the only surviving member of his family. When he was brought to Al-Aqsa Mother's Hospital in Deir al-Balah, doctors decided that he required an arm and leg amputation. As his parents have been murdered, Omar's aunt Maha is now taking care of him. He keeps asking where his mom and dad are. Maha does not know what to tell him. Omar has spoken about how he saw his sister, Yasmin, without a head following the attack on the family. Maha said, "He is only 5. What did Omar do to those troops? Why have they destroyed his life?" For almost 10 months, the Zionist regime has been attacking Gaza. The pain has been horrific for everyone, especially children. Anadolu News Agency wrote, as the Zionist regime rains down death and destruction on Gaza, organizations like Doctors Without Borders have even coined a new term to identify children without surviving family members, WCNSF, Wound a Child, No Surviving Family. All of this is by design and part of the Zionist regime's psychology of occupation, according to Dr. Iman Farajollah, a clinical psychologist and professor of psychology based in California. She told Anadolu, "I think it's really important to understand how the psychology of occupation works. We cannot just only overlook the years of occupation that Palestinians have actually experienced for 75 years. And I think what Israel has done for so many years is basically to create a traumatized nation all through their policies against Palestinians. They are trying to create a traumatized nation that cannot stand up for themselves and cannot actually ask for liberation or self-determination or for their own state." When it comes to the trauma of children in the Gaza Strip, Farajollah explained that they face what is known as complex continuous trauma, a term referring to prolonged and repeated exposure to traumatic events. She said, "Palestinian children have been suffering for so many years, generations after generations. The trauma they are experiencing is continuous, 24/7. They are in Gaza, a big jail or open-air prison, and on the top of that, there is continuous bombing all the time. They have no escape. This relentless trauma manifests in different forms, ranging from desperation to impacts on cognitive abilities," she explained. She said, "The symptoms that Palestinian children have suffered can be placed in four categories. The first one is behavioral signs, the second cognitive signs, then emotional signs, and the fourth and the last one is the physical signs." She said, "They have symptoms like depression and anxiety. They have nightmares when they sleep. They have difficulties to leave the side of their parents or comply with house orders. They have flashbacks all the time, and they wake up in night screaming. And they have avoidance behaviors. These children are living with the constant fear of losing their parents or having something else happen to them." The psychologist said, "In terms of their cognitive signs, a lot of them suffer from confusion and lack of concentration." She said many mothers have told her that their child was good at school before, for example, the war of 2014. But after it, because of the trauma, a lot of them lack the ability to succeed in school. The Zionist regime's deadly violence against Palestinians and the brutalities of its ongoing war are psychologically impacting people all around the world, who are seeing a constant stream of graphic images and stories of immense pain and suffering, said Farajollah. She emphasized that second-hand trauma is no different than first-hand trauma. She explained, "The way the people in Palestine are being afflicted is, of course, stronger, but people around the world are also being affected, and symptoms like depression, anxiety, stress can occur with all individuals who actually experience secondhand trauma. Watching secondhand trauma constantly live in front of our eyes, it is going to impact us psychologically, physically, and emotionally. There is no doubt in that, and the only escape would be if choose to close our eyes or shut down your TV, your social media, and to isolate yourself. However, I don't think anybody seeing these atrocities and the genocide that is happening in Gaza can close their eyes. All of this is going to affect people in the long run and have a very, very negative effect on their psychology," she warned.
IRIB English Radio presents
viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Nur Muhammad are the special guest speakers for today's discussion. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an interesting topic. And that is Arba'in procession or Arba'in walk. We know that 40 days after the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, which is coincident with Safar 20th, so many people from all across the world try to travel to the city of Karbala and attend and participate in Arba'in walk or Arba'in procession. In the recent years, especially after the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, you know, Arba'in procession, Arba'in walk is really much, much crowded than years before. So, and so many people all across the world, you know, regardless of the race, color, or even religion. In the recent years, we could see so many non-Muslims are attending this walk, which seems to be a kind of symbolic walk, but nowadays it is a serious walk. Some people call it the most crowded and popular procession or religious carnival, we can say, all across the world. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, let's start with you, brother. What do you think the significance of Arba'in walk and procession comes from?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, that as you mentioned, Arba'in procession is one of the biggest, actually, crowded people. More than 20 million, nearly 30 million people gather in one city for the sake of remembrance of Imam al-Hussein and actually the philosophy of the uprising of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. If you look at the trend, who is Hussein, you find many people talking about this issue. Many people want to discover who is Hussein actually, and they want to know more about the uprising of Imam al-Hussein and actually the wisdom of the movement of Imam al-Hussein, yes, alayhi salatu wasalam.
All right.
Many people actually give, food for the sake of Imam al-Hussein. Yes. Everything is for free there.
Yes.
For those people who have experienced the, taking part in the Arba'in procession, they know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Iraqi people, they are very hospitable for the people over there. They give everything for free.
Yes.
Food, a place for their, rest, and whatever you need.
And this is not something new. You know, during the history of Islam,
exactly,
they have always welcomed their guests, during Arba'in procession, during, after Muharram, 10th of Muharram to Safar 20th, with free, we can say, housing, with free water, free food or something,
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. That it's kind of Islamic, actually, culture.
Culture, that's right.
When we welcome the guest, it's one of the characteristics of the Muslim.
All right.
They welcome the guest. And the guest, it doesn't matter who is your guest, mm-hmm, Muslim or non-Muslim, we welcome him or her.
Right.
It's actually Islamic culture that maybe nowhere else you can find this,
yes,
kind of culture.
Yes.
To be, opening for other people,
mm-hmm,
to be generous for other people, to
all
be
right,
giving,
right.
This kind of beautiful culture that you can find, especially in the Arba'in procession,
right,
and of course before and after that.
Okay.
I think Arba'in procession is unique.
Yes.
Because Hussein is unique.
Yes.
And you have some other, you may say, spiritual gathering in different places.
All
like,
right,
for example, Kumila,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken,
okay,
is for the Hindu people.
Mm-hmm.
They gather, they go to the river,
yes,
and they,
yes,
have their,
yes,
own rituals there.
The rituals, bathing over there.
Yes,
that's right,
exactly.
Yes, yes.
And similar to that, we have the Nazarene,
yes,
in Filipina.
Yes.
People, they gather there,
okay,
maybe 100 or,
yes,
maybe 1,000, 1,000,000 people, they gather there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to say that the Arba'in, after all, is different.
Something different, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Imam al-Hussein, actually, one of the philosophy of the uprising of Imam al-Hussein was for justice.
All right.
For the humanity.
All right.
And these are unique,
okay,
characteristic for,
okay,
Imam al-Hussein,
right,
alayhi salam.
Sheikh Rouhani, up to an extent that Arba'in procession overshadows somehow the day of Ashura in terms of the media coverage and the footages that we see, the welcoming of the people. coming from around the world, barefoot, you know, over there walking from all across the world, usually from Najaf to Karbala, the people will walk, but the people of Iraq themselves from far places will take part in this procession towards the city of Karbala. What does it symbolize? I mean, this walk, this journey, what does it symbolize?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, first of all, it symbolizes a kind of lifestyle that is based on the love of Ahlul Bayt and the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
All right.
Because in this actually walking or march, we see that the people express their love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Ahlul Bayt, particularly Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa sallam. So this is a kind of qira'ah, a kind of reading of Islam that is based on love and hubb Ali Rasul. So that's why this mahabba, this love that people have to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa sallam, the best and the perfect manifestation of it in nowadays world is the Arba'in procession. Because you see that numberless people, as it was rightly mentioned by Sheikh, that sometimes millions of people, tens of millions of people from across the globe gather in a small city called Karbala nowadays. Because if you compare this city to the metropolitan cities in the world, you see that, for example, in terms of facilities, in terms of, let's say, equipments, it is not comparable with those kind of cities. But even in this kind of condition, without enough kind of or sufficient facilities, millions of people gather in the city of Karbala to commemorate the event of Ashura and to express their love to Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. It has a very great message to the world.
Yes.
That who is Imam Hussein? And why do these millions of people love Abu Abdullah to the extent that they come from across the globe, despite the fact that sometimes weather is so hot, it is unbearable, you know?
Especially during summer.
And they walk, they walk kilometers, tens of kilometers of the highway, for example, from the Najaf to Karbala, from Baghdad to Karbala, sometimes even from Hilla to Karbala.
Basra, Hilla to Karbala.
So this walking during these hot days of summer in Iraq, and the people know that, can actually provoke or motivate these people to walk during the nights and days. Days and nights they should walk to arrive Karbala in Karbala. That is why I think
I think this sunnah, the tradition of walking towards Karbala can be only can be seen during the other days of the week, you know, and the years too. I mean, for example, especially on Thursday and Friday, the Iraqi people themselves, in a symbolic for cancer, walk towards the city of Karbala in order to commemorate, as you said, the memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
The important point that I wanted to add to my points is this, that our audience, particularly if our non-Muslim brothers listen to us, they should know that we have different recitations, different readings, different interpretations of Islam. Different schools of Islam we have, actually, different branches of Islam we have. One of these branches is the tashayyu. Tashayyu is mostly based on love, because in the history of Islam, Shia people did not have power. You know, Amawids were there, Abbasids were there, Osmanids were there. They were all against tashayyu. But if you see that nowadays, these millions of people from across the globe gather in Karbala, you should know that this is love, only love, that gathered these people. There's no any power, any, for example, what we can say, powerful kingdom or sultanate or khilafah in the history who support this, for example, Abu Abdullah or Imam Hussein or the tashayyu. That is why...
Even the budget that is coming is very much personal. I mean, from different people, different tribes, you know, different, for example, houses. Even in the villages.
Yeah, of course.
That's all. I mean, these sub roads and the routes that are going to Karbala, the people welcome the others and host.
I think no government nowadays, yes, no government in the world
can manage such a big procession. That's
to
right.
To provide, to facilitate sure. tens yeah. of millions of people yeah. for tens of days.
Yes.
And nights yeah. freely.
Freely, that's
without
right.
any payment. Yes. It's impossible.
All right. That's all right.
That's only love yes. that can make these people.
And the Rezgov Hussain and Abu Abdullah mm. Hussain, that's right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And do you think this could be changed into a spiritual journey for a person, Shaykh? I mean, for a spiritual development?
Of course. One part of the Arab imposition is spiritual. Uh-huh. And if you take part into the Arab imposition, for sure you should have some spiritual change.
Okay.
And you can, you know, improve your spirituality for sure. Because when you go to that atmosphere, you find that all people, they work toward one purpose and one target, who is Imam al-Hussein. And Imam al-Hussein symbolizes freedom for the justice, for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everybody wanted to get closer to that target, which is Imam al-Hussein. And there is no difference between Muslim and non-Muslim. Many people, they took part in Arab imposition who are from Christian, you know,
yes.
Jews.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Sometimes non-Muslim take part into the Arab imposition from different...
I've seen the footage of these fathers, priests, you know, the rabbis, even the Hindus,
exactly.
you know, the,
yes.
these spiritual gurus taking part. Yes.
Exactly. Okay. As my brother mentioned, it is only for the sake of love of mm-hmm. Imam al-Hussein alayhi mm-hmm. salatu wasalam.
All right.
And for sure, it has many things to do with the spirituality of human being. And I think I just want to invite my dear listener to experience.
Yes.
This beautiful journey, this unique journey
yes.
to Karbala.
All right. The message of Hussein maybe even goes beyond the message of Islam sometimes, okay? Because Islamically and religiously speaking, some people might not be interested, for example, in changing their religions to Islam. But when the name of Hussein is coming and popping up into the scene, you know, they say that, okay, Hussein's message equals humanity. Hussein's message equals justice. Hussein's message equals because of freedom of speech. This and that. All these modern slogans that here and there are in the so-called, for example, humanitarian official organizations across the world has been claimed by Imam al-Hussein more than 1,000 years ago. So that's why maybe the main interest of some people taking part in Arba'in procession is, in fact, that's right, especially reviving these messages and these values, which are not related only to the religion of Islam.
I want to say that actually Imam al-Hussein is embodiment of real Islam.
Yes.
Imam
yes.
al-Hussein is not separated
yes.
from Islam.
Yes.
Rather, he is embodiment of the, you know, reality of the
yes.
of Islam.
Okay.
If you want to look at Islam in person, you should look at Imam al-Hussein.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
That's right.
And the purposes of Imam al-Hussein actually is purposes of Islam.
That's right.
Nothing separated,
yes.
You know, from that.
All right. Thank you very much, Shaykh Nur Muhammad and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the Arba'in procession. I hope that our dear listeners, brothers and sisters across the world, find a chance of taking part in this procession, Arba'in procession, also a procession towards the city of Karbala, and look at it as a spiritual way, a spiritual stream towards spiritual development and perfection, inshallah. It was very kind of Sheikh Nur Muhammad and Sheikh Rouhani. Thank you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, please visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parsetoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. ومن يرجوك ربي لا يخيب إلهي 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 إلهي
In the limelight.
Yemen says its armed forces will definitely respond to the Zionist regime's strikes against the Red Sea port city of Hodeidah. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Kayhan International wrote, last month's terrorist attack on the Yemeni port city of Hodeidah on the Red Sea by the illegitimate Zionist entity that destroyed food storage facilities and fuel tanks, igniting huge blazes, is being considered a possible war crime, says the Human Rights Watch. Wonder why the New York-based organization used such ambiguous words instead of calling a spade? At least 7 Yemenis were killed in the Zionist regime's aerial bombing that left 80 other people injured, many of them seriously. Yet, this supposedly non-government American organization hesitates from denouncing it outright as a war crime. It merely said the airstrikes on Yemen's evening of July 20 were an apparently unlawful, indiscriminate, or disproportionate attack on civilians that could have a long-term impact on millions of Yemenis who rely on the port for food and humanitarian aid. Serious violations of the laws of war committed willfully, that is, deliberately or recklessly, are without the least doubt war crimes. In fact, the illegal Zionist entity, which has no right to exist on Palestinian soil, survives on war crimes, and that too in complicity with the crimes against humanity of the U.S. The Zionist regime attacks killed Ahmad Abdullah Musa Jilan, Salah Abdullah Muqbel al-Sarari, Abdul Bari Muhammad Yusuf Ezzi, Nabil Dasher Abdullah, Abu Bakr Hussein Abdullah Faqih and Idris Dawood Hassan Ahmad, all Yemen Petroleum Company employees. The Zionist regime's attacks cannot be justified as retaliation to Yemen's right to target Tel Aviv for its ongoing genocide in Gaza that has so far murdered 40,000 people and injured almost 100,000 others, many of them maimed for life. Yemen also has the right to raid the Zionist port cities of Eilat and Haifa. This does not mean the Zionist regime has the license to expand the war theater by targeting Yemen. The Human Rights Watch, however, admitted that Israeli forces damaged or destroyed at least 29 of the 41 oil storage tanks at Hodeidah port, as well as the only 2 cranes used for loading and unloading supplies from ships. The airstrikes also destroyed oil tanks connected to the Hodeidah power plant, causing the power plant to stop operating for 20 hours. A remnant that Mautana for Human Rights collected at the site bore
The markings of Woodward, the U.S. manufacturing company, and matches remnants collected in other contexts of the GBU-39 series bomb made by the U.S. company Boeing. The GBU-39, known as the small-diameter bomb, is a guided, airdropped munition. This is ample proof that the U.S. is actively involved in the Zionist crimes in Palestine and over West Asia. Meanwhile, Press TV wrote, Yemen says its armed forces will definitely respond to the Zionist regime's strikes against the Red Sea port city of Hodeidah. Jamal Ahmad Ali Amer, the foreign minister in the National Salvation Government, said recently, the response to the occupying Israeli regime's aggression and its tactics are the topics which leader of the Ansarullah resistance movement, Abdul Malik al-Houthi, and the Yemeni army can only decide upon. According to Yemen's Al Masira television channel, the July 20 Israeli regime attack targeted oil storage facilities and a power plant in Hodeidah. At least 9 people were killed and 78 others wounded in the Zionist regime's air raids. The attack came a day after the Yemeni military conducted a drone attack against the coastal city of Tel Aviv in the 1948 Israeli-occupied territories. Yemen's Supreme Political Council has pledged to respond to the attack on Hodeidah. It said in a statement, this aggression will not pass without an effective response against the enemy. Elsewhere in his remarks, the top Yemeni diplomat stated that the U.S. military had to withdraw its naval fleets from the Red Sea in light of Yemeni maritime operations, saying the Pentagon is looking for alternative options in order to hold sway in the region. Yemenis have declared their open support for Palestine's struggle against the Israeli occupation since the regime launched a devastating war on Gaza on October 7, after the territory's Palestinian resistance movements carried out a surprise retaliatory attack dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Storm against the occupying entity. The Yemeni armed forces have said that they won't stop their attacks until unrelenting Israeli ground and aerial offensives in Gaza end. The Zionist regime launched its barbaric campaign of genocide in Gaza on October 7, 2023. The Zionist regime has had in place.
Nearly 70 Palestinians were killed in a single day of Israeli attacks on Gaza, with overall death tolls surpassing 40,300. Iran's foreign minister reiterates the country's legitimate right to retaliate the Israeli assassination of the late Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran. And millions of Muslims arrive in Iraq's holy city of Karbala to mark Arba'in, the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here on Blue World News. Israel continues pounding Gaza, killing dozens more Palestinians in fresh attacks. At least 27 lost their lives as a result of strikes on several areas of the southern city of Khan Yunis. In center Gaza, Israeli shelling on the Barrage refugee camp killed a Palestinian toddler and her mother. Also in central Gaza, 3 people fell victim to attacks on the Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. In the past 24 hours, around 70 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza, Israel's military campaign, widely known and condemned as a genocide, is now in its 11th month, and the death toll stands at over 40,300, with thousands believed to be buried under rubble as well. And apart from all the fatalities, displacement has been worse.